PFT Media.
Okay, and we are in at home, as always, looking at where we are. Today, we're going to go to the Industrial Revolution to see how workers were treated then and what stay-at-home life was in the 1800s. And welcome to Path True History, where we take the myths and the legends, put them together, and try to make a fairly sensible story out of everything. I am your professor, of course, Dan P. And with me, as always, the William Murdoch to my James Watt, Pedro Lima.
Yeah, Murdoch. That's not good either. I don't like these names you're giving me lately.
I don't think any white names are good, Pedro.
Okay. I'm just gonna assume that I'm never the good one.
No, he invented gaslighting. You were great.
Was I?
Yeah. So, and then joining us is a good friend of mine, wrestler and political activist, Teddy Stigma.
Activist is maybe a little bit of a stretch, but I do yell a lot.
You are active in your politics.
I've done a little
actively
activism,
yelling.
But I do probably more yelling than activism. Yeah. Hey, Dan, can I ask you a question, actually, since I'm on the line with a real-life professor here?
Sure.
What would your advice be to a 19-year-old Teddy Stigma who dropped out of college to become a professional wrestler?
What was your major?
Never even got that far, but it probably would have been English.
Mm. Oh, you did the right thing.
If I had picked another one, it wouldn't have been more lucrative, trust me.
Yeah, I mean, if it was English, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a teacher shortage. You could have at least fallen back on being an English teacher. Like, you wouldn't have been jobless. So, you know, that was one of the safer academias to fall into.
Well, I'm doing air conditioning right now, and either way, I guess
it's an essential job. If not, just do a trade, actually. Trade would be
that's a great trade in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not good at it or anything.
How long have you been doing it?
I just catch can. Yeah, like a year ago.
Okay.
I'm not like a tradesman, you know. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like getting better at it. That's the problem.
Oh, that's what it is. All right.
Yeah. It's really hot up there.
That's the irony of the job. It's always hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna need nurses soon, Stigma.
Hey man, I'll get on it. Yeah. I wish I was putting AC up in a hospital instead of putting it up in this old building that's being refurbed into a storage unit. So that's cool. That's cool that I get to make more money for some landlord somewhere.
Dude, that's so brutal.
Yeah.
That's alienation from labor right there.
Essential business. You know, we got to make sure there are enough rich people by the end of this.
Right, yeah. Right. They got to stick around. Yeah. So that's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it?
We are talking about industrialization, the switch, because obviously we are under this COVID spell here, and we're doing a lot of things that for us who have lived, you know, in the 20th and 21st century is very alien, you know, and this idea of what is essential and working from home a lot. But we're actually going back to a time before industrialization where a lot of this stuff did happen. A lot of people did work at home originally. We always think the factory system because that's what we've been trained to think. With industrialization, a big building where everybody goes in and everybody works, the boss is in his office and everyone under. But up until about 1860, 1870, that just wasn't the case for many, many businesses.
I think that's crazy because it's interesting how many people think that like the system that we live under right now is not a manufactured, man-made system. You know, like it's been developed, and it's whether it's been developed or developed organically or whatever, it's not necessarily like the way humans have to do things. And that seems to be this like just like understood thing. It's like, well, you go to work, you make money to buy the things you need to survive. And that's just how, that's just what we accept things to be. But even as recently as the 1700s, I mean, that's crazy to think about, is that people were working from home. You know, the factory system hasn't always existed.
System hasn't always existed. This idea of you doing your same chore over and over again is really just fairly new in the whole span of human civilization when you think about it. And capitalism didn't even show up until the 1700s. Adam Smith hadn't written any of that yet. So no one really understood what a factory and how a worker was supposed to be treated. And we think, oh, this is just the way it has always been. Not really at all.
Yeah, it's not. It's, I would always argue that none of this is human nature. We were hunter-gatherers for almost 200,000 years. Mm-hmm. And just now started doing the civilization stuff.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, it's, we're not one of those things like, oh, we've always been farming. Well, no, we haven't. You know, we've been farming for maybe 12,000 years in our entire existence.
It's been argued that that starting to farm was even where human beings went wrong, because this concept of ownership and like land ownership has created so much tension among people, and perhaps what even gave birth to hierarchies and even the concept of patriarchy. Ooh, I'm getting too philosophical now. Ooh. But you know, when people started, instead of just roaming around and working with the land and being part of nature, we started sectioning things off and building fences and taking pieces of nature out of it and changing and making crops and domesticating animals. All started around 10,000 years ago. And then people started being able to hoard stuff and saying, well, if you want some of this, you got to do something for it.
Yeah.
Wasn't like that for a really long time.
It was a very egalitarian society for a very long time. And then, yeah, like you said, with the beginning of farming comes the beginning of class structures. And, up until this point, if we flash forward back here to the 1700s, you worked from home. Most people did. It was called the cottage system. Now, you know, there weren't people in the factory doing the same thing over and over. There was no such thing as a sweatshop back then to make clothes. If you were a guy who owned a clothing store and you wanted certain dresses or certain suits to be available, or even just certain fabrics for your tailors, you would dump off your raw materials to these houses of these ladies who would sew it all for you. And then by the end of the week or end of the month, you would come by and pick up the materials they had done and pay them for their work.
Do they lived in the same like neighborhood, or was this, you know, go to this house and drop it off?
It would be, you know, it would be a sort of a system. So, you know, for example, because we're in Orlando, we'll do that comparison. You know, the business would be right in Orlando proper, but then he would go to a college and cottage in Castleberry, a cottage in Winter Springs, and he would make his rounds and collect from all these things that he to produce for him.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they were working from home, and it probably felt a little less, like when I think of like having to go to work every day, especially for people who we've now shown with this whole COVID situation, probably didn't have to go to work very much that whole time, you know, or at least with the technologies that we have available to us now, you know, we can use these technologies for good. Ooh, man, we're going to get into some industrialization with that talk too. I'll stop there.
Because now AT&T is going to jack up that bill, because now they're like, yo, this is very essential. You can't do anything. You cannot do anything without internet.
Capitalists love to charge you lots of money for things that you need to have. Mm-hmm. So it's the perfect way to make money.
But like you were talking about, Teddy, yeah, it's and then you had a lot more people who were happier working, because they're working from home. They were working on their own hours. They made sure they got the product done in the deadline, but they didn't have to be there there was no direct supervision back then.
Right. So the system that we have now perhaps is more one of control than production.
It's what it became for the longest part. Yeah, it started to bring in the monotony of work, this idea of strict discipline. There was always a supervisor above you. And if you screwed up, you know, that was a tax on you. But, you know, again, the cottage system, if you were working from home, okay, you tore a sleeve, it might take you an extra hour. The guy didn't know that until, you know.
And right.
You still produce the same quality at the end of the week. There was no write-up. There was no worry about getting in trouble or getting fired.
Unless right, without getting a bunch really of dumb slaps on the wrist. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And business owners, because they were so busy, they could actually go out and do their business, not worry about supervising their employees. All they had to do was check the quality of the work and then do their business. They didn't have to sit around thinking of ways to get their employees in trouble.
Right, right, right. And they didn't have to hire a bunch of supervisors to do it for them when they didn't feel like doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting time back then. But then, of
course, the workers were having a better time then doing their production than they do now.
And are much you? More protected back then.
Protected.
Yes. You know, we're used to labor unions here. But back then they had the guild system. And the guild system was basically the same thing as a union, but they protected the workers. They were, you know, if they kind of wanted these women to sew for him, he had to pay them the rate that was set by the guild. And even then, in order to make sure that business was fair so that all of their people got work, he could not sell his fashions for any higher than what the guild thought they could sell them for. That way he didn't run other people out of business or any lower than what other people were. So because the guild's job was to make sure all people in the guild had a job.
Wow. See, I mean, again.
Go ahead.
When I want to know the day or the year that they just dropped the name guild and said union. That's I am just fascinated with that because I want to know the meaning because they probably weren't like guild sounds very weak.
I think what happened, and again, it's different from each country, but I'll talk about England, is that eventually the guilds became illegal according to the parliamentary laws.
Ah.
They started to phase them out to favor the capitalists and the industrialists.
Ah, there it is.
Renamed it union.
So, yet again, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
Right. Exactly. Tune is the same.
Wow, that's crazy. And all right, so I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this because I'm trying. You use the example of like cotton and like seamstresses, and so I'm trying to imagine now a factory situation where you have a bunch of people in a sweatshop sewing things together. And I know in the 1700s we were by no means at the peak of human civilization, but it seems like workers actually had a better deal back then than they do right now.
They did. Yeah.
And so what blows me away is like, wow, so if we could have even something close to that kind of protection from unions now, whilst having all of the wonderful technologies and knowledge that we've accumulated over these last couple hundred years, wow, what a much better world it would be.
I'm pretty sure the chicks weren't that hot back then either, because chicks will make you do some greedy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But they did have those big, giant hoop dresses. Those were fun.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, they weren't like smoke. Like they were covered up from like neck to like toe. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's one of those modern enjoyments I must have been talking about then that we could combine with this guild system.
Combine the attractiveness of the 21st century.
right.
The worker luxury. But actually, you know, you think about it, that could actually work out better. I'm going to go for a wrestler comparison here because I don't know if you've noticed social media, but a lot of wrestlers who have been home more often, they have developed their own home gyms, and a lot of them have actually gotten in better shape during the sport.
Yeah, and that says something about you know, what people are doing with their free time right now. A lot of people kind of haven't known what to do with themselves, but now that the weeks have progressed, it hasn't been all good. Like some bad things have definitely started happening as a result because of people with you know, depression issues and stuff like that, or like, you know, all kinds of terrible shit. But My whole point is people have had some more free time for a change. They're working out. They're being creative. They're like putting hilarious content on the internet. Like, this is a balance that we need to kind of seek for a society, because what is the point of a society? To pay rent or to fully experience the human condition?
Can we just say the Hardy compound is the best compound out of all compounds?
It seems like a place that a guild should convene.
Oh, like, dude, even before this whole COVID-19, he threw that masterpiece, the ultimate deletion thing.
Uh-huh.
Then now it's starting to be, like, you know, the big corporation decided to kind of, like, take it for their big show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, cinematic wrestling is gonna be the next thing for sure. Yeah. I think
Lucha, we're already starting. I think Lucha Underground had something there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, maybe ahead of its time.
Yeah, not backed by the right horse. Yeah,
Not to get too much in the wrestling, but I've always thought there needed to be more theatrical and cinematical elements to it, because at the end of the day, it really is a stunt show. And you really want to expand on the stunt show at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to toot Mayhem's horn too much, but with the last show we did before all of this, I sort of had the idea of making this like a concept album of wrestling shows, and mm-hmm. really like tying in a theme to the show. And like, we had props that had to do with the theme, and it was just the whole thing, you know, that like they tied into the story of the show and all this stuff. And it was really like well received, and everyone there loved it. And a lot of Mayhem fans aren't even wrestling fans. And that's part of the reason we did it that way, yeah, is because you've got to start thinking about like making this a whole damn circus, you know? You know, and then, yeah, I guess this sort of situation has kind of been the necessity that has bred invention for, you know, making people think outside of the box about wrestling stuff.
It really has for a lot of things. It's there's been a lot more it's for those who can afford it. There are still people who are completely out of a job right now, and it's really tough. But for those who are still able to go to work and have a salary or work limited hours, it's provided more time for self-care than we've ever seen in the age of industrialization.
Right. I mean, just working from home eliminates how many hours of commute for so many people. You know,
right.
That you now have to yourself to play GTA or do something cool and creative. But right. For me, it's play GTA. Not that I work from home, but if I did, it would be play GTA.
And you notice how gas prices have dropped now that not everyone's on the road in gridlock.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, traffic is so smooth to drive now, mm-hmm. but I can't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I will say my commute to work and back has been much nicer.
Oh, it's just so quick. It's just, mm-hmm. bro, it makes you realize, wow, there's too many people.
And even before the guild system, I want to get to the Catholic Church, because this was they were the original protectors of the people. Believe it or not, I know in history they do a lot of stuff that.
Wait, not the church?
Highly questionable. You know, they're definitely, you know, I would say a little bit on the darker side sometimes. But one of the fronts were the protectors of the people, and the governments had to conform in the Middle Ages to these Catholic churches. And one of the demands was that they got. The people got off every major religious holiday. And back in the Catholic Church, you're looking at about 80 different types of saint days and feast days.
Wow.
So on top of Sundays, you're adding an extra 80 days of holidays.
That's almost an extra day a week.
Yeah.
That's like 80 days just for saints. Because, mm-hmm. I recently learned that there's like a million saints. And, you know, they like kind of like ancient gods, you know, they had a saint for everything, just like they had a god for everything.
So they're
having a lot of holidays. All right, well, let's bring back the saint holiday system, even though I'm not religious. I'm all for it.
I mean, just even this idea of what if we went to a four-day work week? Can you imagine what that would do psychologically for everyone?
Well, And they've tried that in a few places, and it's not even like a anti-capitalist thing to go to a four-day work week.
No.
It's actually more productive in the places that they've mm-hmm. tried it. And not 4 days, 10 hours, but like 4 8-hour days. And yeah. people do more work in that time than having that stupid extra day that, you know, everybody, nobody gives a shit about Friday anyway. At my job, you go to work on Thursday, they call it Little Friday. You just mm-hmm. goof off on Thursday yeah. and Friday, you know?
And that was the thing. Like, when industrialization happened, yeah, the factories had to be made because the big machines were there. You needed the big machines, you needed people to work the big machines to really get things out. We were still figuring out what demand was. We were still figuring out what prices were. The railroads had changed everything. So yeah, you had massive amounts of people, you know, you're looking at people who were working 14-hour workdays, 6 days a week in the high part of industrialization in the early 1800s.
So where we were in the mid to late 1700s there were guilds and people were working from home, and life may not have been perfect, but they at least weren't completely disconnected from their labor. And right. then just, you know, within 50 years through industrialization, productivity is up and we're able to make all this new special stuff and we've got these cool machines, but somehow that turned into workers generally having miserable lives, even with all these fun new advancements.
Right, exactly. It created this type of paranoia, I think, amongst the business owners. They were so worried that they were never getting the full amount out of their employees now that they could actually see their employees.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, didn't they do the thing where they took photographs of people like moving so that they could figure out the shortest distance, you know, yeah. for their hand going from out here to over here in the factory, so they could trim down every last minutia of like getting work done and you know, treating workers like, well, the machines that they were creating for the workers to work on, instead of allowing them to have any connection with what they're actually doing.
Right, which that in itself is such a misinterpretation of capitalism, because, again, they saw it as a green light to make as much money as possible, because the most of them read the parts of Adam Smith that they wanted to read. But
that's Adam Smith, thread in history.
I mean, Adam Smith basically says in paragraph after paragraph, if you don't look after the general well-being of your employees and people of your community, the system fails.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something people have forgotten, that even the people who were super into capitalism back then and in the early days of like formulating it mm-hmm. As a concept and like giving it a name, they were talking about it philosophically. They weren't talking about it as like hard edge, you know, Republicans that were trying to punish the working class for like not working hard enough or something.
Right.
You know, I should just say Republicans, Democrats too. I may sound like I'm talking politically, but really all I talk about is the concentration of power and where it should be and where it actually is. And I don't give a shit about Democrats or Republicans. Okay, let's go on with the story.
Okay. For exactly, it's the same. It's the industrial establishment that has existed since industrialization. It made a new political class. The nobles lost power. The nobles were no longer in control of their own countries. The kings and such were now listening to the industrialists, and the industrialists were buying their seats into parliaments.
All these pieces are falling together.
Yeah. And of course they're going to create laws that make the workers sound bad once they start asking for rights.
Right.
Of course they're going to be anti-union. Of course they're going to create mm-hmm. these scenarios and skew facts to make it look like capitalism or their version of capitalism is the utmost.
Right, right. You know, what's funny is I watched a lot of like old videos in preparation for some of the stuff I was doing for wrestling, like videos from like, you know, the 50s and 60s where they were having these like frank discussions about capitalism and stuff.
Really?
And it was interesting because even the people, yeah, like it would be like some high school kids sitting around the lunch table chatting about economics. Like, all right, that happens. The discussion they were having was like, well, of course, in a capitalist society, I mean, obviously that's the best way to do things because we know that because this is America. But like the government should always have a very strong hand in making sure that the business owners, you know, don't get out of control or whatever. Like that was the discussion people were having. And now it's gotten so crazy that it's like you just like, oh, you don't need government at all for anything, you know? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's that Overton window for you, I guess.
And you, and we're, you know, what we're really trying to talk, what I'd like to talk about here, especially, is we've talked about this guild system, this idea of workers who set their own time, could work from home, set their own hours. And we're not talking about a failed system. This was England and France in the 1700s. They were running the world. You know, this is not this. Yeah, this isn't Venezuela right now. You know, we're not talking about something like that. We're not talking about a North Korea. We're talking about the most powerful countries in the world. Let their workers have free time.
Right. Right.
And yeah, it went to factory systems, and the factory systems, they were necessary at the time because the technology wasn't there anymore to mass produce at home. You couldn't do it at the level that they wanted anymore.
Right. You couldn't put these big machines in your house.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I think we're back at the level, though, where it can happen, where you get the best of both worlds. You can still have an industrialized world while at the same time giving them cottage level protection. I think we're starting to see that now with this epidemic.
Yeah. It's crazy to watch it all kind of coming full circle in there, but like, I guess, like, I'm curious about, like, the process of, like, making things, changing things into this factory system throughout the course of the industrialization. They get all these big, fancy tools to be able to make more stuff, but instead of that allowing the workers more free time, they just made the workers work more. Not, you know, not even the same amount, but more to produce even more. And we've seen that trend ever since, in a production going up and workers, in terms of inflation, not getting paid anymore. And the technology keeps getting better, but the workers keep working just as hard, if not harder, with even less. And it's wild to watch that all start back then, to some degree start, I don't want to say start, but really be exacerbated. And then we're seeing it now. And I guess my the thing I always think about is like the Luddites, right? Like, I don't know a whole lot about things, but I know the Luddites came around during this time. Is that true?
Yeah, Luddites. Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that?
I could try to explain it, but Dan, you might be better than me at it.
Basically, the Luddites were skilled workers who were being pushed out of their professions because of automation. So what they would do is they would get jobs in the factories in order to sabotage the machines.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because automation to them was hurting their rights as workers, because they saw this automation as, oh, these capitalists are, not even capitalists at the time, right? But like, or maybe, I don't know. Yeah, industrialists are going to make all this extra money off of us using these machines. But like, yeah, they were against that because they felt like they were being even more exploited than before. And I don't know if we can get into this talk about automation, or if you got more that you want to get to before that, Dan, but I think that's an interesting parallel between now and then.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, definitely is, if you want to expound on that a little bit too. We could probably do even a further discussion maybe in another lecture as well. Because we try not to go longer, but we did the long show that one time,
and it
didn't work as well.
All right, well, that's a whole can of worms. But
earmark it.
All right, I'm gonna write down with the other stuff too, with Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, Luddites. I'm all about sabotaging, bro. I like sabotaging.
Yeah, let's go into that one, because industrialization—you can hit so many points on. We're just touching on the change in workers at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the Luddites. Yeah, we're all about that idea that they were being replaced, and this was the problem of the factory owners, because they were more concerned about replacing them with cheaper workers rather than this idea of let's make the job easier for a master craftsman.
Wow, and that was back then, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So if workers were more in control, or completely in control of the means of production, then they would be making decisions that maintain production, if not increase it, but also use those advancements to give themselves more free time to go out and party and do creative shit and make funny content for the internet. Right. And, you know, and that's not happening.
Yeah, that was the whole point, too.
Right.
A well-paid guy who's happy with free time, he's going to spend his money.
Right. But left in the hands of the capitalists, all those advancements are only going to be towards making them a whole shit ton more money and keeping all of their workers under direct supervision for 40 hours a week because you just have to.
Let's open this call center in Bangladesh. We charge them 15 cents an hour.
Right.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And exactly. And you, instead of, because you've made yourself some money with this call center in Bangladesh, but now you've totally taken out, you know, heaven forbid you just make life easier for actual Americans with good communication skills in English to, to themselves. Because we have to win, everyone has to get the trophy, I won capitalism.
Right.
But then he takes he takes the money away from the people that would spend it on the actual item they're fabricating.
Yeah, that's
hey,
hilarious.
Hey, stupid cat, what's up?
There's a cat attacking the screen here. Yeah, but like, I think that's a super interesting point, right? Because it's like, great, I can go to Lowe's and buy like a plastic chandelier for 45 cents or whatever. Actually, no, they're way more expensive than that. It's a total ripoff because what are the goddamn overheads here on the labor, you know? And so it's like, and it's not an anti other countries thing or something. What we should be seeking is to eliminate this. I'm an anti-capitalist before anything else. Eliminate this capitalist system and replace it with something that gives power to the workers so that globally we'll all be making these decisions for ourselves and not left in the hands of people who are just trying to make a lot of money and then sell us crappy products at huge overhead.
Exactly. Dude, it's crazy. If you think about the overhead, like you say, I remember reading Beats headphones. They sell for like $190, $100, $200.
Yeah.
It's like $12 to make.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
iPhones, I think they're like $24 to make.
They're nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's like, if we're to
and
believe that capitalism.
You always have with them, too, because you're giving it to unskilled workers to put together.
But yeah, again, And what does your money go into? You as the consumer, you're supposed to be voting with your dollar, but I'm not telling them when I buy a pair of Beats, I've never bought a pair of Beats, but if I were, I'm telling them that I'm condoning this practice or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, but that's sort of this kind of like neoliberal idea of voting with your dollar. But like what we're actually voting for is I'm telling you that it's okay to spend all of this money on advertising instead of making a decent product to trick me into buying your shitty product that's no better than anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm paying for, to be tricked under capitalism.
Was it David Cross had a great bit about McDonald's and their advertising, how much money they spent on advertising. And he's like, you could use that money in advertising. How about give it to your workers? We know what McDonald's is.
Right, exactly.
Like
you haven't changed the menu in 40 something years. We get it, McDonald's.
You got burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they tried to do the salad shaker.
They did the salad shaker. Yeah, the McDLT was dope. But then the styrofoam people got all bent out of shape. Because it was destroying the planet in the 80s.
If you had owners, just like, you know, in the old cottage system days, yeah, they wanted to make money. Absolutely. You're in the business to make money. Sure. But they weren't on a mission to make 10,000 times more than their employees. They just wanted to be successful. They wanted to be respectable. And that's another thing back then. It was the honor of your business. You had that, you know, just to talk about pianos, you know, you had that Steinway & Son brand, and that was it. Like, I make pianos. I may not be the richest piano maker, but I make pianos that everyone knows don't go out of tune that often, that everyone knows are the quality brand. And that was back then. It was the honor of, I make the best. I may not be the richest, but I make the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not I trick you into buying stuff the best.
Right, exactly. And that's, it used to be, again, and that was part of Smith's writing. He really wanted the capitalists and the industrialists to compete on who can make the cheapest but also the best product.
Yeah. And yeah.
All they only read certain lines from the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, you know, this the guild system, or no, I shouldn't say the guild system, but this work from home system was by no means like some kind of utopian socialist society or something like that, or like luxury space communism. But like the fact that even these like modest ideas of like workers having some control of their lives are so far gone at this point. It just blows my mind. We're living in interesting times.
It's that New York minute. It's that Puritan hour to hour. You have to be showing that you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And it's instead of just, hey, I need this by next week. So, you know, you go off, you have lunch with your friends, you hang out, you play video games all night, but you get it done by the end of the week, like your boss said. And then who cares?
And what is the end result, though? It's just like when I was a kid and, like, you know, my stepdad didn't want us watching his TV. We still watched his TV. We just put it back to the same flashback two channels before we turned it off and dusted the remote for fingerprints. And he was none the wiser. It didn't stop us from using. So when my boss shows up at my job site, I pretend to be busy for the 10 minutes that he's there. You know, I don't take a cell, but I'm still taking cell phone breaks because, well, goddamn it, I should be able to, you know. Like, we're still getting the work done.
Yeah, it's basically whip it. At this point, you're whipping a dead horse. You're trying to squeeze blood from a stone. There's no way you can get more productivity out of workers today. So you might as well, like I said, go back to what happens if my workers are happy.
But I think with everything that's going on now, and this is going to be a problem, they are going to be able to do it. Because now they have the fear of, do you want to be unemployed? Then I need you to do this overtime.
Right.
Whatever businesses are open right now, a good business person, an honorable, somebody with good morals, they're great.
Right.
But these greedy fucks.
Mm-hmm.
That they need to make up all those monies that they lost when the stock plummeted.
Right. So, I mean, and Pedro brings up a good point. I think we're going to get two competing ideas once all this is over. It's going to be the, just like you said, do you want to be unemployed idea versus the, hey, look, I'll we still it. Got the job done at home.
Love you. Bye.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought that up, Pedro, because that's where, that's like, how all of this ties in, and we're starting to see, well, who really pulls the strings in, like, especially the Florida government, where, you know, nobody can get unemployment. The website is terrible. They make all these modest liberal reforms where they say, like, well, now you don't have to check in every week, but that doesn't matter if people aren't getting their unemployment in the first goddamn place.
Dude, so, they don't have the money. That's the funniest part, is that they don't have the money. So now they're like... Oh. Oh, no, the website's not working. We don't got the money.
Yeah. And so what is that going to lead to? More people with a gun to their head essentially going to work, feeling like they're putting themselves in danger, their family. And then on a broader societal scope, which is how, you know, the way I try to think of all this is like, yeah, we got to flatten the curve. Right. It's a buzzword. But like you, the more people are going out there, the longer all of this nonsense is going to last. And like, I don't know why even the capitalists can't understand that you just need to chill for a minute, because then you actually can make things come back. But you're right, Pedro. They're going to use this as an opportunity to scare people into working because they have absolutely no other choice.
It's the opposite
of freedom.
Yeah.
I do want to add to that, though, the fact that unemployment's running out. They're not having the money, et cetera, et cetera. But we're taxing businesses too much right now. Taxes are too high. So high that we don't have any money in our reserves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they didn't do that saving for a rainy day they're always talking about.
I like how Steak Shack
did it.
Shake Shack. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they give the money. Yeah, it's great to give the money when you get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the money's not meant for you, stupid.
Yeah, and I try not to be too cynical about, like, my anti-capitalist viewpoint. But I, you know, like Pedro, you mentioned that, you know, like, yeah, some people with like good morals should be stepping up. But like, even with the Shake Shack thing, that appears like good morals, but it's only when their feet are held to the fire. It's only
correct.
When it
really comes
down. Only when things, like, have been called out.
Trust me.
What is HR going to say about this?
They were already talking to banks in the Virgin Islands and in Sweden and everything, trying to make that money move.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. So it's like, is it the capitalist in charge, or is it just the fact that capitalism, by its very nature, pushes people to the top who are complete raving sociopaths?
Yeah. Dude, it's yeah. We haven't seen the ugly yet, and that's the part that I can't. Like, I want to see how they're gonna resolve this, because, like, where I work for the utility company.
Okay.
And that's going to be interesting because bills are going to be due.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like every month a bill is due. And everybody's going to be like, yeah, but, you know, this COVID-19 and utility companies, it's like Goodfellas. Fuck you, pay me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you were sick? Fuck you, pay me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you got COVID-19?
Yeah. Oh, you were trapped in a ventilator? Fuck you, pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's no joke. And so, like, cool, the government gives you a $1,200 stimulus to make you feel good for a minute, but all you end up being is a conduit to take government money and then give it back to the people you owe bills to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, when it comes down to, if you ask yourself, what is the purpose of a society, or what is our individual purpose as people in the society, is it as a conduit to just give money to landlords? That's not how I don't agree.
Right. No, I get you, man. I get you. And that's, you know, that was the problem with the industrial world. And we can always talk about, we didn't even touch really on a lot of those labor conditions with industrialization. But like you were saying, that part of I work just in order to pay my landlord, most of those companies owned those apartment complexes that their workers lived in.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. What's going to happen with Amazon?
Amazon stock. Yo, Amazon stock is blowing up. Uber Eats stock is blowing up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and predict an Amazon serfdom where we all just live on Amazon property and work for Amazon for no pay, but we get, you know, Amazon credits or something.
A certain Amazon amount, yeah, for every.
Cash is obsolete.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can back me up on this, but, you know, I know, like, in like Appalachian, like, coal towns and stuff, they actually did do that. They had, like, local factory bus whatever, you know. Yeah. So they just kept everybody right there. But then when that all dries up, what happens to all that fake money you had? Mm-hmm. So, very unstable system.
Wait, Appalachians had their own money system?
The coal mining companies and everything. It was basically this whole town. They paid you in monopoly money because they own the store. They own the apartments. They own the utilities. They owned everything, the company.
Wow.
But if the company went under, yeah, you basically had all these Chuck E. Cheese tokens that you couldn't use anywhere else.
Wow. Right.
But hey, don't worry. We'll teach those coal miners how to code. Everything will be fine.
All right, we're going to put the wheels down a little bit for tonight. It's been very good. Thank you for being with us, Teddy, there.
Yeah, when the studio reopens, dude, definitely come through, man.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to do this with you guys in person. That'll be awesome. I hope I didn't get too off the rails with stuff, but that's kind of how it rolls.
It's how the show goes most of the time. Don't worry. You fit just perfect.
I'm blown away by everything that I've learned, all these pieces that are falling together. So thank you for the opportunity.
Dan, what's that cat's name, bro? Because that cat had more airtime than you.
And Natalie.
Natalie? Yo, she just put it on camera, B. Just put her in the shot.
Natalie, friend of the pod. Right.
There you go.
She's friend of the workers. Teddy, you got any social media that you want to put out there? Probably Mayhem on Mills once it gets operational again. Or
yeah, you know, everything at Mayhem on Mills on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then I'm Teddy Stigma on all the things. You know, I'd say follow Mayhem first, and then follow me for my quippy bullshit.
All right, sounds good. And as always, follow all the Half True History stuff, Half True History on Facebook and Twitter, Half True Histories on Instagram. Pedro.
At Rican Gorilla on Instagram and on Twitter.
There we go.
And one more thing. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
the union that's been doing a lot of good work is the I'm forgetting the name of it. You can cut the part out where I'm trying to think of it. My wife is the union leader for this goddamn union, and I'm not thinking of it, but they're the ones that unionized Disney. Wow, I'm going to be in so much trouble for this.
Oh, you had one
union,
job.
Everyone. Holy Jesus. Follow, go find unions and be a part of them. I don't
know. Teddy Stigma is gonna put it on his Twitter, so make sure you follow it. We'll just copy and paste it.
I completely cut you guys off to do a failed plug for a union, but I will put it on the Teddy Stigma Twitter. There you go.
All right, well, that closes the chapter of another Half True History. We'll see you in the next era.
Peace.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you.
A PFT Media production.